On Monday, we read from your emails, sometimes your letters, and every so often your facsimiles. Lawrence in Weston, Massachusetts, sent a fax to say that we misrepresented Democratic presidential candidate John Kerry as an unabashed liberal. True enough on social issues, he wrote, but not on fiscal policy. Lawrence wrote, he's about where his predecessor, Paul Tsongas, was, and about where President Clinton was on a balanced budget. He has supported the principles of the Concord Coalition, and he supported the budget resolution, making it a good deal more difficult to go into deficit. That was the Graham-Rudman Act that was passed in 1985. Our program on the automation of the service industry got a lot of response. Leslie in Ithaca, New York, sent an email to say she loves speedily ringing up her own groceries, but has noticed exasperated shoppers in the self-service line. Whenever there's any sort of a snag in the process, it's like an anger management meeting gone bad, she wrote. Mothers screaming at children, husbands and wives blaming each other for doing it wrong. Most often, no time is saved at all, and the drives home must be hell. Our program on Google drew many appreciations for the internet search engine. David Lehman from Menlo Park, California, wrote, "The information available on the web is completely astounding, and I use Google all the time to find all kinds of info. I like to say it's the next best thing to being able to ask questions and get answers from God." David Suchet in Miami, Florida, was even more appreciative. He wrote, "I found myself unemployed after almost 15 years of loyal service to a telecommunication giant and no job in sight. I sat in front of a public library's computer, and I was taken for the ride of my life. I felt like Aladdin on a magic carpet ride at first. Then I felt like Dorothy after landing in the Land of Oz. And finally, I felt like Adam and Eve in front of the tree of good and evil. If it weren't for the internet and search engines, I would probably be living under a bridge." Laurent Hodges in Ames, Iowa, wonders, with tongue-in-cheek, shouldn't it be pronounced as two words, go ogle? Karen Gregory from Iona, Michigan, recently discovered the seedier side of the web. She wrote, "I Googled my name, and the first thing that popped up was a pornography site, flashing my name in big, bold letters and directing me to other sites to study my trade, so to speak. Obviously, the woman on the site was not me and didn't look like me, but it's disturbing to me that my name, which admittedly is somewhat common, would bring up so many bad sites." And Perry Fleischer in Santa Cruz, California, has a personal complaint against Google. She wrote, "My great-uncle Edward Kasner was the mathematician who identified and named the number Google. Well, that number, a 1 followed by 100 zeros, is spelled G-O-O-G-O-L. Of course, the company spells its search engine's name G-O-O-G-L-E. Clearly, their technology is great," she continued, "but the name certainly helps them on the marketing end and has increased their popularity. As a family, we're pretty angry that they stole the word and never contacted us." Well, we've contacted Perry Fleischer to share her family story. She joins us now from her home in Santa Cruz, California. Good of you to speak with us today.
Hi.
So what was your reaction when you first heard about this search engine calling itself Google?
Well, I work in Silicon Valley and actually work in compensation. So my immediate response, and this was in 98 or 99 when I first heard about it, I had kind of a reaction that we were getting ripped off. When I wrote that note to you guys and I said my family was angry, my sister actually wanted me to clarify that I was angry.
I see, not her.
And not the whole family.
Google is now both a verb and a noun. It's incredibly popular when people use search engines,
right,
whether it's theirs or not. It's almost like Xerox or Kleenex at this point. Clearly, the name has played a large part in their success.
That's right.
The search engine's website does give credit to your great uncle's number for inspiration. Under the site's fun facts, we found this quote, "Google's play on the term reflects the company's mission to organize the immense amount of information available on the web." Is that enough?
It would be nice, more than just having a blurb on their website. You know, it would be nice to be acknowledged in a financial way, is my position.
Well, good luck.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Perry Fleischer joined us from her home in Santa Cruz, California. Members of her family invented and named that very large number, 10 to the 100th power, a Google. You can email us at totn@npr.org. If you do, please include the topic of the program in the subject line. Tell us the city and state you're writing from, and if necessary, give us some guidance on how to pronounce your name.